Can I say I feel like your background is appropriate for Bollywood wives?
It's La Ball, Sam. I'm at La Ball. This is the historic ballroom at the Shangri-La in Paris. Okay, I'm at La Ball.
Amazing.
You can't tell me I don't do my research, okay? Podcast. I am your host, Shah Shaheed. It's been a while. I don't know if I remember how to do this anymore, so I'm going to try my best. Today, by popular demand, see, this is what happens. You guys will things into existence. This episode is literally because someone willed it into existence, and we're essentially talking about the original Netflix reality series, The Fabulous Wives. Lives! See, I told you I screwed up. The Fabulous Lives of Bollywood Wives. It's an Indian reality show produced by obviously Karan Johar and Apurva Mehta, as well as Ankur Poddar, who's done other shows like Kaun Banega Crorepati, Big Boss, Indian Idol, and so on. The show is essentially following the lives of four, I'm doing air quotes, Bollywood wives. The cast essentially is Maheep Kapoor, wife of Sanjay Kapoor, Bhavna Pandey, wife of Chunky Pandey, Neelam Kothari Soni, sometimes not, wife of Sameer Soni, and Seema Khan, somewhat wife of Sohail Khan. We can get into that more. It's basically a Bollywood version of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, or at least they'd like to think so, and they'd like to make us think so, but I'm totally ignorant about these topics. I have no idea what any of this is. Literally, I think I'm going to use up my one swear word to go, guys, what the f*** is this thing? So joining me today to put all of that into context is Samarpita Datta, a.k.a. Lipstick Patrol, and Nim, a.k.a. Maple Brownie. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Do you want me to introduce you guys by giving everyone like a list of your associations so people know why you're important, like, you know, Lipstick Patrol, writer of Bollywood, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, how they started the Bollywood Wives show. Do you think that's necessary?
My list isn't that long.
Neither is mine, really. But I feel like I've been enough times on your show for people to know who I am, at least, a little bit.
Absolutely. That's absolutely true. Nim, this is your first time, and yes, I wasn't joking in the beginning. Like, I haven't done this in a year and a half, guys. And literally, like, the only reason I'm doing this is because I think, Sam, you put up a thing going, you should review this. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. And then Nim's like, yes, I concur. And I'm like, oh, all right, sure.
Because you know why? Because you are the most anti-gossip person I know in Bollywood. I mean, that is on Bollywood Twitter. And to get your reactions would be priceless. Absolutely priceless. And then on top of that, you watched the show, which is phenomenal to me. That's amazing.
2 days.
And to get the male perspective as well, I feel like, is a big deal with this, right? Like, yeah, so I'm looking forward to hearing about your thoughts on it from, like, the male side of things.
I think you guys will be surprised. I think you'll be really surprised that I have less to crap on this show about. And I have good things to say. Oh. I think it's, you know, guys, what it is. I'm older. And I think I'm just trying to look at the positive things in life. It's 2020. You know, everything's a hellhole. And I think I'm just getting used to the positives, right? Otherwise, again, I don't know why else we're here. Because I don't like talking about things I don't like. And honestly, spoilers, I kind of like this.
Ah. I'm surprised.
Interesting.
That makes all of us right here. So Sam, let's start off. What is this? Why are we here? What is this for?
If you want me to get into the whole, like, you know, existential reason for it, there really is none.
Well, if we're going to be discussing existentialism reasons of why any of us are doing this, that is probably a question posed to the four ladies of the Bollywood Wives show first, right? Did you like this? I mean, you're more into this than I am. Like, I think both of you guys are, weirdly enough. I don't, and Sam, I think last year, or whatever the last season of Coffee with Karan was, I think we planned to do, like, a review. I did watch all those episodes, too, weirdly
enough.
We did. That might have been my gateway drug into this Indian reality series nonsense. so, like, you saw this, and for me, this is new. How did you feel about the Fabulous Lives of Bollywood.
You know, I can't use the word surprised because I was not surprised by anything I saw on this film. Reality show. I really wasn't surprised by anything I saw in this because it was just everything that we know about Bollywood. It's elitism, it's snobbery, it's, you know, whatever you want to call it. It's just in this show, and it's all about the largesse of the rich, if you can put it that way. And I don't know, I thought it was good fun. I enjoyed watching it because a lot of them are a hot mess, and that's fine. I love to see a hot mess on TV. Yeah. It is a guilty pleasure. I thought it was a guilty pleasure to watch this show. And I don't think any of these people pretend to be anything more than what they actually are. You know, it is what it is. As a show, it doesn't, you know, it's not trying to posit itself as being an intellectual show. It's not trying to posit itself as being, you know, an arty show or anything like that. It's just, yeah, we're messy, we're rich, you know, we're glamorous. That's it. That's our lives.
Absolutely.
That's it.
I think that's one of the reasons I like the show too. It's really self-aware of the fact that it is trash content and they're very proud of it. And I mean, they're not subtle about it at all. Kranjara shows up and goes, let me just start some more shit here. It knows what it is, which you have to give it credit for. Nim, what were your thoughts on this amazing new reality show?
I mean, like Sam had mentioned earlier, like it's not something new. What it was an interesting aspect in the fact that they actually decided to call them like Bollywood wives in a sense, because some of it, to me, that's a very loose terminology in this, because some of them, they've got some interesting backgrounds. Others, I mean, Neelam in herself, she herself is a Bollywood actress. And to put her into that category, I kind of felt that I didn't like it really, because she's an amazing actress I grew up with. And so that
it's kind of dismissive,
Of her, of her achievements as a person. And Maheep Kapoor and Prabhavna, their husbands really haven't been in the Bollywood kind of scene for like how long now? Like, and that's where I'm like, well, I can see, yes, you guys are part of it, but really, are you part of that total in crowd in a sense? Like, are your husbands the ones that are making the movies consistently, the hits and whatnot? No, they're wives of husbands, really.
I mean, what are you talking about, Nim? Come on. I mean, Sanjay Kapoor was in Shandar all those years ago. Chunky Pan is going to be in Houseful 5. He was in Jivani Janeman. He was in Houseful. Come on, what do you mean? What do you mean they're not? Of course they are. Come on. These are superstars of Bollywood. Come on.
Right. Eye roll.
But can I say, I do feel Maheep and Sanjay as a couple, they were quite self-aware of where they stand in the Bollywood hierarchy, because, you know, that whole sponsored trip they did to Doha, and where Karan Johar shows up and they go to the rooftop of a building and they're just having a casual chat. Complete setup. But anyway, I know, right? Probably. And he was just talking about how long he'd known Maheep, and he'd seen how she'd been openly disrespected in the industry sometimes for being the wife of a flop actor, basically, or a person who is considered a flop actor, even though he has been working steadily, I would say. You know, it's not like he's been inactive like Chunky. Like, Chunky is more inactive in the industry than Sanjay Kapoor. But, you know, because he is the lesser Kapoor brother. They're not respected as much. And so I found them especially to be quite self-aware.
For people in my boat, Sanjay Kapoor is the brother of Anil Kapoor, notable, newly waxed Anil Kapoor, Bollywood star. Sanjay Kapoor, I find, so my best takeaways from this show, honestly, and again, that's probably why I liked it, were the moments where Sanjay Kapoor was on screen. Simply because, number one, I think I could watch an entire half an hour series of Sanjay Kapoor just imitating Anil Kapoor. I think that was brilliant. I love to see, especially because, again, I don't do a lot of gossip, but when you hear those snippets of how the Kapoors live, like Arjun Kapoor tells stories about Anil Kapoor's sort of vanity and his sort of vain arrogance that he has, and all those jokes, you know, with that picture that they put up when he was in sunglasses at a family Diwali or whatever it was, it's really interesting to me. Like, I like to see more of that dynamic. Like, I'd love to see, like, if this was an actual Bollywood reality series, I would love to see how the Kapoors are not just with their friends, who no one else seems to care about, but how they actually are with the people we do care about. You know, like, let's look at, you know, like, let's get Arjun and Jahnvi together and see how they interact, but not on a stage when a, you know, coffee show with Karan Johar. I think that was sort of my takeaway. The fact that there was another scene with him and Maheep when they went to get coffee as a surprise, like, or drinks, which was, again, staged.
Yeah.
And he mentioned, it's happened, Maheep, you know, I've got that Karan Johar. I think it's a new Netflix movie or whatever it's coming up. And I'm listening to that, and I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. He's being so refreshing that he's like, you know, I've been here for so long, and I finally got a Karan Johar thing. And I'm like, wait a minute, but you were in Shandar, you were in Kalhona, you did Karan Johar produce things. But I guess this is more of a leading vehicle, which is why it was sort of a big deal. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think that's what the takeaway was supposed to be.
Right.
Yeah. I do think, though, that maybe there was a little too much of the dynamic. Maybe we got too much of an insight into the dynamic, because here is the nephew of Maheep walking in and calling her an asshole. I mean, I didn't.
I mean,
yeah, I mean, look, whatever internal dynamics they have within their family, it's fine. It's just a bit odd to see that, you know, as outsiders, you're like, whoa, this is a bit too personal.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess my thing was very much, again, not knowing, like, I don't do this like you guys. I don't know the details. This is all very refreshing and new to me, right? I don't know the behind-the-scenes stories. Like, you might hear about someone cheating on someone. You guys might be like, yep, that happened. And I'm sitting here going, what the hell? The whole, you know, Sohail and Seema thing, for example. I'm like, I'm watching this and I'm like, huh, what's happening here? Why is he coming over? Why is he not?
Yeah.
And then I found out the details of whatever that was. I had to literally ask Bollywood Twitter, going, someone clue me in. But, I mean, I found it kind of refreshing because, again, there are moments of this that are very staged, which is so obvious. Mm-hmm. And, again, they're not pretending like it's not, which is refreshing. They're not, like, and this is why I don't like reality shows, because they do try to pass off staged reality as reality, even though you've got the Bollywood music in the background. You've got the boing ding for when it's supposed to be something funny.
So
from a technical perspective, I enjoyed that this was made in a way that didn't sort of try to overtly manipulate us. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then the moments I loved the best were where seemingly they weren't guarded. It wasn't staged. You know, things were said that maybe shouldn't have been said. You're looking at an aunt and a nephew, and they're completely swearing at each other like they're like chuddy buddies or whatever. And maybe that wasn't planned, but hey, there it is. And I sort of liked those moments more than anything else. There was one moment which I legit teared up. I know, right? Not this kind of show. But it was right at the end where Chunky Pandey's, I think they went back to when Ananya. Chunky Pandey's daughter.
yes.
I guess she won Best Debut or whatever, Filmfare. And there was that moment where he's got the award and he's like just lamenting on the fact that 35 years he's been
doing
this.
He's never gotten one.
And he was just proud of his daughter, but also just regretting that finally the statue came home. Like, I legit teared up because I grew up watching Chunky Pandey and I know what he's capable of. Yeah. I've seen what he's done. And then I see him in Houseful movies now just being like, you know, the ninth billed actor in like two scenes doing the most ridiculous shtick. And that I teared up because I'm like, this is so unguarded. This is such an unguarded moment regretting
and,
the fact.
And to that point, I mean, I feel like the husbands actually were a bit more of the saving grace of the show, because whenever they made their appearances, that actually brought more raw emotion to the screen, whether it be Sanjay and Maheep or Chunky and Bhavna, Neelam and Samir. They had their moments between them as you know, husband and wives, where it actually solidified that idea that these are actually human beings with their own little conflicts and their own regrets and, you know, past dreams, and they're trying to still make the best of it through their children or, you know, future projects, whatever it may be. But the men really added. If they didn't have those appearances, I don't know if it would have had the same ground to kind of stand up on.
Yeah, and I feel like the men also sort of grounded the wives in the show. I mean, not in real life, I guess, but in the show, they kind of brought this sense of, because, you know, here are these characters who could have easily been made out to be I mean, let's be real. The kind of wealth that they showed on the show was not the level of wealth you see, like, superstars having, you know, like Shah Rukh Khan's Manat or Amitabh Bachchan's, like, Jalsa, bungalow or whatever. Like, these are people with modest apartments who are maybe doing better than 75% of the rest of India, but are still not in that actual 1%, you know.
Right.
And the show could have actually gotten away or run away with the theme of the theme and kind of made the wives look like super rich, like uber rich. But they didn't, because the husbands were like, yeah, okay, yeah, I've been a struggling actor for 35 years, you know. So I felt like it kind of brought that sense of ironically reality into the reality show. And also it kind of also gave an insight into how, you know, it's so easy to make fun of the failed brother of a successful actor, you know, like you'll be like, oh, Sanjay Kapoor, you know, okay, oh, he was really bad, or he had flop films, or he was a flop actor or whatever. But then, you know, the show gave an insight into how that makes them feel and how it affects them. Mm-hmm. And they talked about their journeys and how within the dynamic of a couple, how the couple, the partnership has really helped these people deal with maybe their failure in the industry as well. Mm-hmm. So,
And I did like that. I mean, first of all, I think, like, I'm a Maheep Khan fan. Honestly, I think she is the true superstar of this thing. Maheep Kapoor. See, Khan. I don't know. This is what I'm doing. This is
why you guys call her Maheep Khan.
it's all Khans and Kapoors and Chopras anyways. Who cares? It's interchangeable.
And
Jewelers. Right. I sort of, despite the fact that she is the biggest sort of animated character of this, those moments where she does talk about the fact that, you know, Sanjay's seen it all. You know, Sanjay's, when I met him, he was the hot music. Mm-hmm. Like, those are the moments where you really get a sense of, oh, yeah. Like, she's acting like a total B and this superficial, hollow person. But, yeah, Sanjay Kapoor has gone through some shit. Like, he's seen some stuff.
Yeah.
And throughout that, she's been with him. Yeah. Not because he's the greatest hit actor of, like, you know, his decade. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, okay, I got to ask you guys. We're talking about the good moments and everything else. I have to ask you, I mean, because they're still pretty rich. Like, I know, Sam, you're saying it's exaggerated and sort of staged richness, but they're still pretty friggin' rich. And I don't know enough about Bollywood to understand how. How are these
actors'
families
so damn
rich?
Remember, these women also have side businesses of their own, right? Khan's got her boutique. Maheep's got her jewelry line. Neelam has a jewelry line. And then Pavna's working into the clothing industry. Like, these are women that also haven't been just idle at home. They've built their own small little brands to keep their kind of bread and butter going at home. And so they may not be a big name out there, but they have a bit of a following. Like Maheep says, she's got, like, I've got my clients. Like, you guys may not know, but I have people that come and buy from me. So, you know, these are women that are also working women on the side. And I like
that. And that's why, that's why I find the term Bollywood wives, it's akin to like, you know, wags, wives and girlfriends, the term that they use for soccer stars in the UK, which is actually quite a sexist term, because the implication are that these women are basically trophy girlfriends or trophy wives. And to say that, like, the fabulous lives of Bollywood wives is to imply that these are all trophy wives, when in fact that's not the case, because these women, like the show definitely showed, they all have successful businesses and they actually have viable careers outside of, you know, being associated with the industry. Like Nim said, with Neelam, she seemed to have a pretty successful jewelry business.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is something that, like, even my mom was like, because my mom was, like, in her 20s during the 80s when Neelam was, like, hot property. And so she was like, that was one of the things that we knew as soon as she, like, you know, got married. She went into, like, you know, jewelry business. So, like, my mom was already aware of this, that Neelam had a jewelry brand. So you could see that this was something that was longstanding for her.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And can I say, it's not uncommon for Bollywood wives, Bollywood wives to actually have their own business on the side. Like, Gauri Khan's got her interior design business. Yeah. Twinkle Khanna, before she started, you know, before she was, like, writing books and, like, writing a column for a newspaper and all of that. She used to have a candle business. She used to make her own candles. And then she, I think she kind of verged into interior design as well. I don't really know.
I remember that too as well. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. She had an interior design. I mean, jewelry design and interior designing is like du jour for
the Bollywood. And I mean, like, and the thing is, Maheep Seema and Suzanne Khan, which is Hrithik Roshan's ex-wife, they all, that building that they, where the girls had their boutiques and their shops in, Suzanne actually has a shop there too, where it's like or houseware sort of stuff. And so these are women that back in the day, they, again, they weren't sitting idly. They decided, you know what, we're going to have a little business on the side, whatever it may be. They got together. They, you know, took out space, rented, and I think now they even own those buildings. And so they did what they could do. So, yeah, like these are successful women in their own right.
Yeah. And I mean, taking it back full circle, Malaika Arora Khan, who is now, I guess, just Malaika Arora, who is Seema Khan's ex-sister-in-law, has the same lifestyle business in conglomeration with Bipasha Basu and Suzanne Roshan. Yeah, so Bipasha has the jewelry side of that lifestyle business. Suzanne does the homeware, and Malaika Arora does the fashion.
Yeah, so they all, it's all interrelated.
Yeah, it's all interrelated, but yeah.
I don't mean to be that person. I really don't. But I mean, this is essentially still, I mean, we're still talking about the fact that these women that have their business, I mean, and again, I could be wrong. You guys feel free to correct me. How many of these businesses started after they already had an in to this specific level of clientele?
Oh, all of them.
All of them.
Right. Yeah. So all, I mean, it's sort of like a foregone conclusion when you're starting up a business and you're the wife of a celebrity and you have all these celebrities as friends. It's a foregone conclusion that your business will sustain itself at this point, right? It's not, you're not really risking anything. I mean, again, I'm not meaning to take anything away. I know they work hard. Obviously, anyone running any business has to. But it's just that there's less risk when you're already rich and famous.
For sure. If anything, they took advantage of the fact that they were in that position. So,
Which there's nothing wrong with. Again, I'm not trying to crap on anyone's achievements. I'm just saying just seems like it is sort of, we talk about this insular industry all the time, and it does definitely seem like this is a very sort of insular thing. I don't know. And again, maybe I'm wrong. I'm sure there's rich and famous non-celebrities in India who do shop at these brands because they are celebrity brands and things like that. I'm 100% there is, right? But it just feels a little sort of secular to me.
Well, the thing is, you have to take into account that people who are trying to maybe rise up the social ladder as well. I'm not trying to say that in a demeaning way, but when people sort of start having a better financial situation, or they're, you know, coming up in life, as a form of social mobility, they also want to kind of be seen wearing designer gear. Right. And so you will have a lot of people that want to have that association with celebrities as well, right, that, you know, want to have like a piece of Neelam Kothari Soni jewelry,
right,
or Farah Ali Khan, who is Suzanne Roshan's sister, who also has a jewelry design business.
Right.
Yeah.
Talking about that exposure, essentially, that you'd get being who you are, who you're married to, did anyone feel like this show was very much done for sort of other ulterior motives? Like, there was a very sort of highlight and specific focus on each of these characters for a very specific reason, right? Neelam trying to get a movie career on track, Bhavna starting a new business,
Maheep and her
clearly launching Shania into Bollywood. And then Seema's got her own sort of boutique business. I have no idea what Seema was promoting. I feel like Seema only agreed to the show because she's like, if I can get to meet Kim Kardashian, great, let's do it. But I also feel like this is a lot of the case for a lot of Bollywood stars, right? I feel like coming into Bollywood is very much a stepping stone, that you get the exposure, you make the connects. And then if you're a success or a flop in the film industry, you can still go off and do something else, because now you're part of that industry. You're a known face. You can get a lot of mileage from that. Do you guys feel that this show was made with that context in mind as well?
Definitely. I definitely think so, because you have to take into account a lot of these people, like I said, like Sanjay Khan is Sanjay Khan. Now I'm doing what you did. Sanjay Kapoor.
Ignorance is contagious.
Sanjay Kapoor as Most of these actors are actually quite self-aware. They know they have a very limited time in which they can actually make that money. And so when they start making that money, they either invest in real estate, which is always, you know, a safe investment opportunity, buy, or they invest in a business, or they start their own business. So they have all these little interests going on the side where they're still actively acting. At some point, they probably start doing less films, and at some point, they probably retire completely, but they still have these other investments to fall back on. Like Sunil Shetty, he's not very active right now in
No,
acting, but
very active.
he's extremely wealthy because he's got, I think, one extremely successful restaurant and a few other businesses
Wow.
Yeah.
that keep the
And
money coming
Shetty
in.
and Bhavna actually have a restaurant too in Mumbai
Oh.
as well too. So, you know, they've had their side businesses and hustle going on as well.
Wow.
And I do think, like, I mean, and one of the things is given that their kids are pretty much all grown up for the most part, other than Neelam's daughter, who's about 7 or 9. But everyone else's children are in college, university, or they're coming into Bollywood. And so the women definitely have a lot more time on their hands. And I think that was another way of bringing their businesses as kind of a selling point, being like, hey, remember, we have our jewelry shop, or, you know, we've got our boutiques, you know, trying to perhaps garner up that interest from the average public to be like, you know, we need to start making a bit more of an income, keep ourselves busy, and kind of go from there.
I also thought it was funny because you when during that Malaika episode where she's essentially motivating Seema to just do more with her business, but she's like, my kids are young, blah blah blah. But then literally like 2 episodes later, it's like, let's all go to Doha. I'm just like, I thought you what? I do like in terms of being
Make
self-aware.
it the home.
Can we for a second talk about Samir Soni, which is Neelam's husband? There's a part in
Yeah.
the
Yeah.
show because I mean he seems to be like he's one of those character actors, right? And he didn't seem to be. I mean, he did seem comfortable being on camera in this show, but I got the sense that he wasn't comfortable with this whole ensemble group of friends. There's also a line where he does say that I'm not social. I wish I was. Maybe I would be more successful if I was a bit more, if I did rub shoulders and rub elbows with, you know, these guys more often. Which I think is sort of an indirect comment on how what we've been talking about, how insular this industry is. That if he did, you know, schmooze and wine and dine, maybe he would have get more leading roles, you know?
And I think he also did mention that because Neelam married him a bit later on in life, he was the last kind of husband in that
In
group
that mix.
to join. Because all of them, like Mahip, Bhavna, and Seema, they all married quite
In about
young.
20
And
something
so,
years.
and then Neelam herself mentioned that she got married when she was 40, and she because she'd been working steadily till then. And so I think he
Actually,
genuinely felt like.
Neelam had a pretty bad divorce prior too. So she got married right
Oh.
after. So Neelam actually, she was done in the
Ah.
90s, got married to a businessman out in Bangkok that fell apart within 6 months, and she came back,
Oh,
and then she started
I
her
remember
jewelry.
that now.
Yeah,
Okay, so
exactly.
since we're spilling the tea, this is where I gotta ask you,
Yeah.
right? Let's cut to the last episode, which is essentially the marketing tactic for this whole thing. Like, Gauri Khan, Shah Rukh Khan.
Gauri Khan.
There is,
Gauri
I mean,
Khan, Shah Rukh Khan, yeah.
speaking specifically about Neelam, there is something she mentioned in the show, right? Again, like, I feel like a lot of this is inside baseball for me. I don't know about this drama and gossip from the 80s and 90s, but she did refer to sort of a situation when she was younger where she really had a really hard time, and apparently Shah Rukh and Gauri sort of helped her through it. They gave her sort of supported her emotionally or whatever. Is that what she was referring to?
No, so there's tech. Well, I don't know exactly. So there's technically two perspectives, like two potential points, and one of them could have been this marriage, but the other one, which I think is more likely, is she actually dated on the DL Bobby Deol for 5 years. Just as he was kind of like, you know, being prepping and coming out. Like, if you, and this is the thing, is I Googled it after the fact, because I initially thought it was her actual, like, marriage, failed marriage, like with the Bangkok guy. But when I Googled, it came out
Nim, I don't
that,
mean to interrupt. What did you Google? Like, why was Neelam sad in finale of the show? Like, what did like
Well, I don't even remember what I
I'm
Googled,
curious
but
because I would probably also should do
maybe
that.
Neelam failed relationships.
Right.
Maybe. No,
Neelam
actually, I
traumatized, question
Googled
mark.
Neelam relationships or something just to see who she had dated prior to or something, right? And Bobby Deol's name popped up. And yeah, so she dated him for 5 years. And by the time she thought that I'm giving up this industry to get married, I want to get married to you and everything, his dad, Thurminder, put his foot down and it was like, you're not marrying a girl of the industry. You're going to marry somebody else.
And you know, the double standards never. Exactly. Oh my God.
Exactly. And so after reading that, I honestly felt that I think it was that incident that probably crushed her the most, that mm-hmm. she probably, because in that situation, you'd want somebody within the industry to kind of like lean on and kind of, you know, get that support and sympathy from
Fair enough.
Right. So I do think that's more likely the situation that she was speaking about.
Now I got to ask you guys, this is, so, I mean, we've sort of talked about the good sides and bad sides of this show. Do you think, how likely is this to become sort of the next big thing? Because this is, again, like I said, we got glimpses of this, right? There's glimpses of the actual Bollywood aspect of it. We talked about that. We wish there was more of it. But in terms of like I personally, I do want to see another, and again, a more legit Bollywood reality show. I would like to see some actual stars in their lives and a bit more unguarded moments, a bit more, you know, not staged situations. I would be down for that. Would you guys be?
I mean, when it comes to reality show, nothing is going to be ever unguarded. Reality, by definition these days, is the fact that things are created in such a situation to give you that image of being on the spur of the moment. But you can't do it without having drama. And that drama is what brings people in. Like anytime, I don't watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians regularly, but the bits and pieces you see, it's always like Kourtney slapped Kim and like, you know, Khloe got like, you know, called out by so-and-so, and there's always some sort of drama that's brought. Right. And these are moments that aren't actual real moments. They were curated in order to create that specific response, right? And I think they tried to do that here with a couple things. With one was, I think, the Pavna and Seema argument at the crab.
Right. Which was a non-argument.
Yeah, it was like a non-argument. It was so like... It had no meaning to it, but yet they somehow managed to spread it into two episodes.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
And even the Doha, the stalker. Ugh. Like
that was so obviously like a setup. Like it just
Yeah. I don't think in Bollywood is they love drama. They love creating it too. So I don't think they can do that unguarded kind of aspect to it. But would I want to see more of this? I'd like to see a little bit more in the sense of this was an introduction. People just got to know them. So now, you know, it would be nice to see if they could actually cultivate a bit more of their own personalities and delve into each person's life a little bit deeper, perhaps.
You know, I think with the fact that the audience for these reality shows is quite different in India. Mm-hmm. Indians in general, they project a lot of their own sort of expectations onto Bollywood celebrities, onto any sort of public figure. Now, I don't think, even if they do decide to have more reality shows in the future, they can't take it down to the level of maybe Keeping Up with the Kardashians or anything, because the moment they start spilling some realty or they start fist fights or whatever, like even if it's staged drama, it's going to cause a very different type of reaction, I think, in the Indian public. You know, like, I mean, stars in Bollywood get trolled for anything. Yeah. And a reality show like that would just set off a different sort of, you know, it's just stirring a hornet's nest. Yeah. And the other thing is, you know, with these reality shows, the audience is also, at the same time, it's also quite limited, because you're talking about only the people in India that have a proper internet connection, access to, you know, Netflix and have a certain,
I will say this, that Amazon and Netflix have pushed their streaming platforms big time in India and around the areas. Why? Yeah. Because most people have cell phones and data packages.
Yeah,
to get data is actually, so that their reach there is way better in those industries. And that's why we are seeing on Prime quite a bit more Indian geared shows, as well as Netflix been trying to do this. So
I think Netflix
know
recently just had a free day too.
There, for sure.
Netflix recently just had a free day too, where they offered Netflix free in India.
Oh,
yeah, it was like a free stream or something, where it's like you don't have to sign up for Netflix. You have 48 hours, watched whatever you want, no registration, no credit card, like no sign up needed, which I think that was a great idea because people, you get, it's like a drug, right? You give them a taste for free and you get them home. But I mean, in terms of something like this, it reminds me of, again, sorry, Sam, I don't mean to cut you off, but like I said, not knowing about the quote unquote reality of these stars outside of these sort of formats. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that David Letterman episode where he went to Shah Rukh Khan, right?
And he went to Shah Rukh Khan's house,
And those were, there was a lot of moments, like Shah Rukh Khan said a lot of things too. And again, like we, like Shah Rukh Khan shoved in our faces 24 hours a day, whether we wanted or not. But there was moments in that interview where he sort of said certain things which really resonated with me. And that was really sort of out of character as well, right? Like he talked about the myth of Shah Rukh Khan, which I think he did mention before years ago. But he talked about the fact that I have to do a certain type of thing for me to, like, I work for the image that I have. Like, I'm not Shah Rukh Khan. I have to work for the image of Shah Rukh Khan that everyone thinks there is, right? That's sort of kind of what I'm hoping might lead. And like the whole Chunky Pandey reveal, the Sanjay Kapoor sort of moments. That's sort of kind of what I would like from this genre, if we ever get it. I don't know, like you guys are saying, it's probably absolutely right. Once you put cameras on reality, it is going to be manufactured to a certain extent. So I kind of agree with that, but I wish it didn't, right? Because I'd like to see some of this stuff. I'd like to see I'd like to see Anil Kapoor be stupid. All these stories we hear, let me see it. Let me see him be a total doofus uncle vibe. You know what I mean? I want to see that, right? So that's where I'm at. I want to quickly talk about that SRK part in the last episode. Because, like I said, without the foreknowledge, or sorry, without the background knowledge of who these people are, how do they interact with one another, blah, 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 that episode to me felt like a proof of concept kind of thing. Because leading up to that episode, everyone's talking about, we're all friends, we all know each other, oh, we've been friends for 20 years. And a lot of it, you kind of feel like, well, that sounds like BS. You know, like you're just kind of, it's being put on. But then that last episode, you get everyone together and Maheep's telling stories about how Shah Rukh Khan, you know, took care of her kids like 20 years ago, whatever, you know, at a hotel, at a certain event or whatever. And you're kind of going, well, is this true? And the cool thing I liked about it, you guys remember that Veer Das comedy special where he told a bunch of stories, which he then sort of put us, he put doubt in our minds. Like he had a bunch of bits, right? And he's like, I tipped a waitress this much money. I left a message. I went to this school in India. And at the end of every bit, he kind of made it seem like, oh, I'm bullshitting. Or am I? And then the last, the credits of that special showed all photographic proof of every bit he did. There was like the picture of the receipt. There was the him when he was a little kid at that Indian school.
Oh, and he had his appendix removed.
And he had all these pictures proving that every bit he did was actually a true story. And you're like, oh shit. And I got that vibe at the end of this episode when you actually see these pictures of all these guys from when they were super young, 20, 25, 30 years ago. And you're kind of going, oh, so they have known each other. They have lived significant parts of their lives together. And the they are involved.
And for me, like when it comes to the Bollywood lives, the thing is, I knew that they were actually all friends in the sense of this was Gauri Khan's crew. Like this is her little clique. So anytime you'd hear about any sort of incident relating with Gauri Khan, you knew that right away Maheep was going to be there to support her. Bhavna was like, and Gauri are like BFFs. Like they've like Bhavna. It's to the point where Ananya has come out and said that Shah Rukh Khan was like a second father to them. She's mentioned that they've gone on family vacations together. And so like I had that knowledge of those three women, being in that crew. Yeah. I will say I was surprised that Neelam was too. I'd never really heard of Neelam being a part of that. But then she did mention that after she got married, there was a little bit of a disconnect when she was trying to like just do her own little, you know, family thing. So.
And I think they could only manage to get the four people that they did on the show as well because the clique is slightly wider as well because they've got Suzanne Roshan in there who is extremely close to Gauri. And then there is also Arjun Rampal's ex-wife who is also super close to Gauri as well. So they're much wider circle. They just managed to get the four the four people from the circle.
So there's other actual Bollywood star wives who are not.
Who just weren't featured on the show. And I think,
I mean, I can see a clear-cut reason for that. I'm not going to say it out loud, but I mean, we all know why those guys didn't show up. So just to wrap up, guys, I'm learning, right? Shade, is that what this is? So just to kind of sort of wrap it up, I want to know from you guys, who gets a spinoff?
Oh, interesting question. I think Mahi, because she's the messiest.
Agreed. I was going to say, she put herself completely out there, whether it be her language, whether it be how messy her life is, pushing her kids and all that. She created the biggest image for herself out of all of this, I think.
And she's also the one with the most connect too, right? Like, her sort of association is with the sort of biggest family, ultimately, right? Like, when you had that Mahip segment of the introduction in the first episode, it went on for like 5 minutes, right? Because she's like, aunt of this, wife of this, sister-in-law of so-and-so, second cousin of the Molly's husband's wife, friend is so... And you're just like, oh my, what? I had to pause because I'm like, okay, hold on. And my kids watched the first episode with me. So I had to be like, okay, so that's the Zingat girl from that movie, Gunjan Saxena, and that's her aunt. And then that's Arjun Kapoor from Juice. Like, we had to do like a whole, like a diagram of like a whiteboard. But yeah, no, I agree. I think Mahip is the clear choice. My second question. Are you going to follow Neelam's creator when it eventually releases on Netflix or whatever the hell she wants to do?
Yeah, definitely.
Of course. She's an amazing actress. I mean,
even more so now, though, right?
I grew up with her stuff.
Even more so now after this show, right?
Yeah.
Because before this, if you told me Neelam's coming out in a Netflix movie, I'd be like, oh, that's cool. I probably wouldn't watch it.
No, I will now. True. Definitely. Now, of course, if people see your name, they're going
to
be.
But I mean, it was just good to see, you know, when you see somebody that you probably saw growing up. In a show or whatever it is, it's just good to see them again. Like, I was so happy to see Neelam, and look at her, she looks gorgeous.
I'm gonna end on this other note, which I'm probably gonna stump you guys with. Season 2, Fabulous Lives of Bollywood Wives. What 4 wives do you cast? I'll start with you, Sam.
Okay.
You know what? Let's expand it. Let's expand it to not just wives. Let's do wags as well. Let's do current girlfriends and current wives. Whatever you want to do. It's up to you.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, Malaika Arora. I want to see Gauri Khan more. Honestly, I want to see more. She's such an enigma in a way. So Gauri Khan.
I think she can cameo, right?
Yeah, she can cameo, yeah, but I just want to see if she agrees to it, a whole series on her. Who else? Oh, God, I'm really struggling to think of names. You know what? I'll throw Suzanne Roshan in there as well, because she seems to me to have an interesting arrangement with Hrithik. So there's one more that I need to fill. So this is apart from the 4 that are already in this show, right?
I mean, yeah, if you want, they can be there too, whatever you like. Yeah. 4 fresh faces would be good, but...
Ooh, and I want to see how Twinkle relates to all of these women as well. So, yeah.
I feel she doesn't.
Well, her husband, that would be fun. I'd like to see that.
Let's see what's going on. Nim, any others that you'd like to see in season 2?
Well, I think I'd like to see some of the younger ones, especially in the sense of like people like Sonam Kapoor, who's like now a wife and an actress, and she's trying to juggle that 2 sides of it because she's always back in London and Mumbai. I'd like to actually see Varun Dhawan's girlfriend, who he's supposed to be marrying.
Natasha Dalla. Yeah.
She's been kind of in the background for like the last, like pretty much since the guy started his career. And she's gone through a lot as far as all of his link ups and everything too. So to see how she deals with this on a, you know, day to day basis would be quite an interesting thing for me as well. And I don't know, maybe Deepika being an actress and a Bollywood wife.
Fair enough. I can't believe you guys didn't mention the 2 most obvious choices.
Who
would be like this built-in drama? The Kapoor sisters. Both Bebo and Lolo. Come on, that would be awesome. You wouldn't even need anyone else. Just those 2 alone would be perfect.
Credit. I will give like Bebo and Lolo a little bit of credit in the sense of they give some really good in-depth, like, you know, little glimpses into their lives with their Instagram these days. So I actually feel like I have a bit more of a connect with what's going on with them than some of the other people out there. Like Thaymur, like he's literally growing up in front of our eyes. And I was surprised at the amount of access that they gave to him.
And I've always loved that too. I remember when they had him. instead of instead of trying to control the paparazzi, I remember from his birth and everything else, they came out on the balcony. They sort of, you know,
they made him wave hi to the paparazzi from a car window, and that was an iconic moment.
And I think that's very much this sort of newfound social media savvy actor sort of life, right? Where it's like, hey, instead of trying to control and restrict it, which is only going to motivate these guys to do crazier and more dangerous things and invade their privacy even further, let's just control the narrative, right? Let's control the narrative in the situation. Right. I absolutely would not mind seeing Saif Ali Khan get on camera in the background in the living room and talk some crazy nonsense about Bollywood movies as he usually does.
Intellectual aspect.
Come on. Like,
just
don't ask him about
eugenics.
Yeah. No, ask him about eugenics. That's what I mean. Let's see some of that. Let's give Kunal Kemu a Neelam boost so he can do something with his career, right? Or Soha Ali.
Yes.
See, like, I'm workshopping this. Karan Johar, call me.
And you know what? Soha Ali Khan would be an extremely interesting choice because she's even written a book about being moderately famous, you know? I think the book was called The Perils of Being Moderately Famous. And the book was basically a self-ode of how she's the least famous in a family full of actors.
Oh, my God. Can we? And then we'll get, like, an episode where Ranbir cameos and doesn't say anything, just sits in the corner looking all sullen and sour. Like, the possibilities are endless, guys. Come on. All right, so I want to thank you two so much for taking the time and coming on this show. Actually, I want to thank you for being the reason why this show is even here. If you guys can let everyone know where they can get a hold of you on social media so they can continue these conversations.
Cool. Should I go first on him?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So I write for Bollybrit, which is at Bollybrit, and my personal handle is at Lipstick Patrol, and that's with an A.
And I'm Maple Brownie on pretty much all social media platforms. So come find me Instagram, Clubhouse, and Twitter these days. So yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for you guys being on here. Thank you for everyone else.
Thank
listening.
You for hosting this.
Oh, no problem. I try. Again, like I said, if it wasn't for you guys, I probably wouldn't do shows like this. So thank you.
I think you're a really fun host.
You are.
Okay, I feel like now you're trying to come back on the show. So this is all muska, and I'm not going to pay attention to any of it.
Come on.
Thank you so much for being here, and thank you for everyone for listening
as well.
I appreciate all the support. You can definitely follow the show on Twitter at splitscreen_pod. Take a look at the other shows I have from a really long time ago. Subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star rating, and definitely engage with me on social media on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at The Shah Shahid. Let me know how much you like this show, and more importantly, how much you like these ladies dishing and educating me on all the inside Bollywood gossip. Thank you so much once again, and until next time, have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.